Don't get your hopes up. I have no candy to give you. But we do have a reception filled with cookies and cakes, and you can have all you want. What if we had played it safe? About a year ago, our session on your behalf took some of the talents we had in the treasury and invested about $80,000 in our future. We budgeted a substantial deficit, in part to bring Melissa on staff part-time. Our session believed there were opportunities for growth we could not reap without additional pastoral support. Our session had a choice to make. Do we accept our new reality as a declining congregation and right-size our staff? Or do we step out in faith and staff for growth? The choice was clear to our session. They foresaw the downward spiral our life together would be if we started making the necessary personnel cuts to balance the budget. So instead, they took about $80,000 from our reserves and made an investment, not only in Melissa, but in you and in your call to serve Jesus Christ through our life together. Our session believed having three pastors would provide us the opportunity to create and restore ministries that would lead to growth. Moreover, they believed you would rise to the occasion and support God's work of renewal in our life together. They were right. Sunday, I shared with you the good news that we are running a budget surplus of over $50,000. Like now, the silence was deafening. I asked Margie afterwards, did I say surplus or deficit? Frankly, it's been so long since we had such a large surplus, especially at the end of July. I think people didn't know what to think. But it's true. We've gone from an $80,000 budget deficit in January of 2015 to a $50,000 budget surplus in July of 2016. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to you. Now, before the money burns a hole in our pocket, let me say about $30,000 of the surplus came from cutting expenses. Our committees and our staff have done an excellent job in holding the line on costs. The rest of the surplus, about $23,000, came from increased giving. Our offering so far this year is up over $50,000 from last year. The year is not over. We have more work to do. But because our session stepped out in faith and you responded, we are very close to becoming a growing congregation again. We've had 5 new member classes since Melissa began. Those classes brought in 31 adult members and 25 children, not including the confirmation classes. She has another class scheduled in August with 7 people who are signed up for the class. Our Nexus service has gone from 30 to 40 on a Sunday to well over 50 on a Sunday. Last Sunday, they had 68. The 6 pedal pub with the pastors have almost all been sold out these past 2 summers. Verse on Tap runs around 50 to 60 a month and has had as many as 80. The growth and renewed engagement we are seeing are not limited to Melissa's areas of ministry. Wednesday night connection was far more successful than we imagined. We had another great vacation Bible school and block party this year. The youth had a great mission road trip, and we sent kids to Triennium for the first time in forever. Our stewardship committee, now the generosity committee, has had an exceptional year. And their enthusiasm has carried over to all of our committees. Even our nominated committee for 2017 has a full slate of officers. It's only August. My friends, no question, we have a lot of work to do. Our worship life has room for growth. There is more we can do by way of Christian nurture and creating disciples. There are areas for growth in our outreach and member care. We have some new mission initiatives we are trying to get off the ground. Our relationship with our sister church in Cuba, working to address the issue of human trafficking in our community, and developing a relationship with ACT Uganda, not to mention some long-standing ministries we would like to support better. Beloved, there's no question we have more work to do. But because we took a leap of faith, rather than hoarding our treasure, we can approach that work from a position of strength. Because we were trustworthy with what we had been given and did not bury our talent in the ground, God has given us even greater work to do. Our text this morning comes from the parable of the talents, the familiar story of three servants given responsibility for their master's property. Whether we focus on the talents and think literally in terms of material goods and wealth, or whether we focus on the master and begin to think theologically about the work God has given us to do, the parable tells us each servant is given a share of the master's property equal with her ability to care for it. Though the shares are not equal, even the smallest is beyond generous. The first servant received 5 talents, equal to 75 years' wages for a laborer. The second received 2 talents, equal to 30 years' wages. The third received 1 talent, equal to 15 years' wages for a laborer. 2 of the servants went all in. They risked everything they had been given and increased their gift not for themselves but for their master. The third servant, afraid of losing his gift, buried his talent in the ground. When the master returns, he discovers the first 2 servants have done well. Each doubled the master's gift. Seeing what good and faithful stewards these servants are, the master gives them responsibility for an even greater share of his property. The third servant didn't fare as well. When the master discovers the third servant's hoarding, he takes the talent the servant squandered and gives it to the servant who had been given 5 talents at the start. The master then chastises the fearful servant. From the fate of these 3 servants, we see a wealthy landowner who was beyond generous shared his wealth with his servants. The good stewards, those who went all in, those who faithfully invested all they had been given on behalf of their master, were blessed. The poor steward, the one who lived in fear rather than faith, was not. What does this mean for us? God is beyond generous and has given us more than we know. If we are faithful with what God has given us, even if it seems little in comparison to what God has given others, we will be blessed. Whatever the gift may be, whatever talents we possess, we are to be faithful stewards on God's behalf. Friends, we're speaking about more than financial stewardship here. We're speaking about more than managing our personal wealth, more than squandering our gifts, more than burying treasure in a field, more than maintaining property that has been given to us. What we're speaking about is the kingdom work God has given us to do. The kingdom life we've been talking about for a number of weeks is given to us for a purpose, to share the kingdom work of Jesus Christ. Sometime after Palm Sunday and before Good Friday, Jesus speaks to his disciples about the things to come, specifically about the fulfillment of God's kingdom. For Jesus, the kingdom of God is established on earth, though it's not complete. Jesus tells his disciples three parables that they might prepare for the day when God's kingdom is fulfilled. The first parable is that of the wise and foolish bridesmaids, where Jesus warns his disciples to be like the bridesmaids who filled their lamps with oil before bedtime so they were prepared when the bridegroom arrived in the middle of the night. The second parable is the parable of the talents, which we've been talking about this morning. The third parable is the parable of the great judgment. Those who care for the poor, the hungry, the naked, and the sick are blessed, for in so doing they show their love for God. Likewise, those who reject these people, the thirsty, the stranger, and those in prison, are judged. For in their rejection of those in need, they reject God. Friends, in these three parables, we see the work we are given to do. Preparing for Christ's return, we are to be faithful stewards, not only of our time and treasure, but of those with whom we share this precious gift of life, especially those in need. For the time being, the kingdom of God has been placed in our care. The work of Christ, to love as Christ loves, the work of Christ is our work. If we are faithful, we will be blessed, and we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Shortly, we will have the opportunity to offer our gratitude for a family who has modeled for many years such faithful stewardship in our life together. We are officially marking Jim's retirement. But as grateful as we are for his years of service, we are also grateful for Carol, Katie, Julie, Tony, Stephen, and Benjamin, and all they have meant to our life together. Jim is truly a minister of music. The quality of music and inspiration his choirs offer is surpassed only by the care he and Carol provided those who shared in this ministry and those in our larger congregation as well. Their home was open on countless occasions. They were often the first to know and would travel significant miles to be present if someone was in need. They served the church in many ways that went far beyond the responsibilities of the job. Serving Christ through such a vital and faithful ministry of music has been a significant part of their life and faith. We will have the opportunity to say more at the reception. We will have the joy of hearing the choir. We will have the chance to personally visit with Jim and Carol and their family. So for now, in gratitude for their years of faithful service, friendship, and love, we simply echo the words we know are upon God's heart this day. Well done, good and faithful servants. Thanks be to God.